Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come up with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand Live Show. My name is Ben Baker, and welcome to another show. This week, we have Caroline Simme on the show. She is the owner of Your Project Planner, and I'm just going to get right into this with Caroline. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for making me a part of it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you talk about things that a lot of people need, but they never think about. It's true. I mean, there are so many companies out there with so many big thinking CEOs that have these grandiose plans, but they don't look at internal structure. They don't look at standard operating procedures. They don't look at the back end of their company and how a company grows and the things that you need to do in order to make it successful. And that's why 75% or 80% or whatever the number is today of startups fail. And a lot of it isn't that they don't have a great idea. It's two things. One, they don't have the back end. Well, it's probably three things. They don't have the back end. They don't have the capitalization. And they don't know how to communicate it effectively. So I take care of one. You take care of the other. Right. We can't help them with the money. I don't have that big back
pocket.
But we'll let somebody else handle that part of the coin. But they're not going to get that big bankroll unless they have the structure behind them, unless they have the communication behind them. So let's get into this. Let me let you tell my audience, where did your project planner come from? What was the impetus of it? Where did you come from? Where are you today? And where do you see the company going?
Yeah, okay. Well, I spent my career really as a professional project manager in corporate San Francisco, New York City, working for major financial institutions and always on sort of IT projects, information technology, where it's a system conversion and big projects that last for way too long and have way too many problems every day. But I got to the point where I had really kind of had enough of that. So I thought to myself, okay, if not corporate, then what are you going to do? So I tried a few different things that didn't really fit. And then I realized that I could take the skills that I'd honed over all those years and turn them in a way that would be more useful and hopefully more attractive to the small and medium-sized business community. Because really, they have the same problems as corporate. They just don't have the same resources to solve those problems. So I called it Your Project Planner for lack of a more innovative, catchy name to use.
But it tells the story very quickly.
It does. And so what I realized I could offer was project management for small implementations. Let's say, as an example, one of my clients in New York City was a very small American presence of a German bank. And they started out so teeny tiny that they did all of their HR in Excel spreadsheet. So then they grew and the Excel spreadsheet was falling over and they went out in the marketplace, bought a product that they liked, signed a contract, called me up to come in and work as the conduit between them as the client and the system provider as the vendor.
Right.
It's a really nice sweet spot for me. I love that kind of thing because there's lots of learning and lots of stuff you can really get your teeth into. And so small implementation projects, standard operating procedures, strong job descriptions, performance improvement empowerment programs, and also the last one is sitting with the business owner to start to extract those decisions that they make on a daily basis that they love to keep so close to their vest and get them out on the floor to the staff where they belong. So all of that in a nutshell, they're all sort of related things, but they're designed to help the team operate more cohesively. So what often happens is they don't have those processes and procedures. Processes and procedures kind of grow like Topsy and tribal knowledge.
Yeah, tribal knowledge.
Tribal knowledge is
absolutely.
That's their structure, tribal knowledge. And it just, for so many reasons, doesn't work. And so when you start digging into it, then you realize that, man, you've got duplication of effort, you've got massive confusion, you've got people doing stuff in their, everybody's kind of doing their job. They have the kernel of the job in their mind, probably very similar, but the way they execute it is different. It's their own take on how that job should be done. So I realized that that would be really a big benefit for a small and medium-sized company.
So it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot there to unpack.
Yes.
And let's take this one step at a time. I mean, it's the big thing of small companies, smaller problems, big companies, bigger problems. And a lot of it comes down to size and scope and scale. But the issues are still the same. The departmental issues are still the same. The fact that people need to understand where they are, where they're going, and how to get there is still the same. It's just a matter of how many people are involved in the decision. And you're right, the institutional knowledge. There are people within any organization that have been there for 25 years or 10 years or 5 years or whatever that have an enormous amount of information between their ears.
Yes.
God forbid they ever get sick or they leave or they die or whatever. And organizations can fail.
Yes.
If it's just one key person, that one key person that is the keeper of the secrets, as I call it, if that one person leaves, can throw any organization into chaos. So my thing is, let's start there. Is how do you get, you know, CEOs to understand, because you alluded to that, how do you get people to understand the dangers of that institutional knowledge, that tribal knowledge? And what the ramifications are about not getting that out into the public, where everything is keep people from holding stuff on their chest and making sure that everybody understands what needs to happen, how and when.
Yeah. And it is not easy. I'll be fully transparent here. That's an aspect that I did not count on. Right? I didn't count on the fact that CEOs, their eyes would just glaze over when I start talking about procedures.
Yes.
And you alluded to it earlier with excellent point. Business owners tend to look at their business as what their product or service is.
Or their children.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. This is my baby, right? And what they don't realize is that what their business is much larger than that.
Yeah.
Their business is the structure, the engine that makes the whole thing turn and work every day. And if they don't have that engine there, they're just flying by the seat of their pants. I spoke to a business broker not long ago who told me a story about a client who had been in business for quite a while. He was ready to sell. And just very recently, his key employee, mind you, he did not have his structure in place. One of his key employees very unfortunately suffered a brain aneurysm. Screeching freaking halt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it can easily happen, especially in the economy that we're in right now. And we've got a different workers with a different mentality. You know, I'm not certainly not bashing anybody, just a different way of viewing. Millennials view things differently. And they are not necessarily going to stay with you for a very long time. So what does that mean? It is incumbent upon you, business owner, to create a culture, create an environment that makes them understand that they are part of something that's bigger than themselves. They're an important cog in the wheel. I depend on you, worker. We're all in this together. So let's make it work. And there's so many, there's lots to unpack there too, because they need to be happy on their job. What makes them happy on their job? When it flows, when it moves, when they've got their role and it's a significant role, there's no confusion. This is what I do. This is what you do. This is the handoff. This is how it works. We like it. Now they're really starting to take ownership of their side of the business. Now they're starting to go to the business owner with solutions instead of just problems. Their hair isn't on fire anymore.
Absolutely.
They've got that. Yeah. But back to your original point, I'm finding it to be a tough sell.
And I want to get back to the hell on fire, you know, because that's my expertise. My area of expertise is how do you get people to understand their value within the company and how do we communicate it so people understand how they're part of the company's success. But we really need to unpack this because business owners need to understand this because whether they're running a business, whether they're looking to retire, and we're getting to that stage where we have millions of boomer companies that are sitting there going, well, I want to retire. And like you, I talk to business brokers and we sit there and talk to them and they say, all these business owners want to sit there. They want to call me tomorrow. And within 6 months, they want to be out of the business.
Yeah. And for top dollar.
That's totally and absolutely unrealistic.
Yeah.
Because you need to have standard operating procedures in place. You need to have a direction of the company. You need to have all the back end systems all set up. Yeah. So when somebody does take over the business, there's something for them to take over.
Yeah.
And it's how do you convince companies and business owners that by giving up, by letting their tribe understand the direction and where the company is going and what the company is going to look like for the next 5 years, you're making the company better and you're making it to a position where not only the employees are happier, but you're also putting yourself in a position that if you do want to sell, you're not getting half X or quarter X, you're getting 2X, 5X, 10X, 15X.
Yeah.
Depending on the policies and procedures and the things that you do in place to make you more successful.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it really gets down to dollars and cents. For the CEO that is in the midst of their business or their career, there are two things that are important to them, right? As you well know, time and money.
Yes.
Right? Now, what I'm finding that they don't realize, and this is a new way that it's not new for me, of speaking to them. You have to boil it down to dollars and cents and time. Where are you spending way too much of your time that's taking you away from what you need to do, which is grow the business? What are you spending way too much money on that could be corrected, right? And when you start talking to them in those terms, then they begin to see that that's an important aspect, that applying structure and allowing themselves to extricate themselves from the day-to-day. If you don't do that as a business owner, you are an employee of your business. Who wants that? That's not why you got in the business in the first place.
It's making sure you're redundant.
That's not the deal. When you provide your employees with the structure and the baseline and all the knowledge and tools and support and encouragement that they need in order for them to take ownership of the business, now they're not calling you out of your office every half an hour to resolve problems for them. And that's the key. And when you're starting to grow, you need to make sure that your operation is nailed down and is smooth and is flowing and working. If you bring people into chaos, you're going to breed more chaos. You cannot scale something that is fundamentally broken.
The one word that comes to mind is control.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. I'm a small business owner. Small business owners are entrepreneurs. They're not really small business owners. They're entrepreneurs. They might have 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 employees, but they're truly and absolutely entrepreneurs because they don't know how to get out of their own way.
Yeah.
They started the business, they had an idea, they have a passion, they have a desire, and they live, breathe, and die the business. Those that can transition to being a medium-sized business owner, a large business owner who realize that it's not my job to do everything.
Right.
It's my job to make sure that things get done. It's my job to put the right people in place and the policies and procedures in place and the systems in place. So I become irrelevant. I mean, that was the one word I heard you say was that people need to become irrelevant. And unless there is those systems in place, it's almost impossible for you to become irrelevant. And then when you go to sell a business, if you're an entrepreneur, you have nothing to sell. You sell your goodwill. And guess what? Goodwill is about as relevant as a phone book is today in the marketplace. My dad at age 77 shut down his construction company that he had been running for 35 years, because he realized he was the business. Oh. And he was fine with that. He had resigned himself to that 10 years earlier. He was absolutely fine with it. He told me at age 60 or 65 years old, you know what? I'm going to run this business as long as I'm happy doing it. When I'm not, I'm going to shut it down.
Yeah.
No one's going to buy it, and I'm not going to get 10x out of this thing. I'm building this company. This is a way for me to make a living and be able to do that. And you as a business owner need to come to that realization of what do you really want? Because if you truly want to sell a business, if you really want to put yourself in a position where you can go away for 12 weeks a year,
yes,
and still have the business run or be able to give it to your kids or whatever, you need to have those policies and procedures in place. So how do you come into a business, that entrepreneur who wants to grow, and help them see the vision? Because that's what it is. It's creating that vision and almost that sense of reality.
Yeah.
If you don't do this, your business is only as profitable as you. How do you go about starting those conversations, and how do you help them even start the process? Because I'm guessing that starting what you do is probably the most difficult part of it.
Well, I think the conversation is most successful when we really talk about the emotions, appeal to the emotion of the business owner. How often does someone ask a business owner, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about all the hours that you're working? How do you feel about the chaotic? I really feel like there's a lot of chaos in this room. What's going on with that? And if you could wave a magic wand and change things, how would they look? And where are you spending that money? So having that time and money conversation that really hits them in the gut, right? And then really thinking about that magic wand conversation kind of propels them into, if my business were more successful and operating without me, what could I do? Because they get so wrapped up in their myopia, I think the word is.
Yeah, they got the blinders on.
And they have the blinders on, and they don't really see what's possible for them because they're on that hamster wheel, right? And God help them. So a few, hopefully not all, business owners feel like, well, if my employees are coming to me, if I help, then I'm needed. Then now I'm really part of this business.
And I'm valuable.
That's their value proposition. Yes, perfect. And helping them see that that is not their job. Your job, my friend, is to grow this business, to take this business to whatever level you imagine. Not everyone wants to have a huge business.
Agreed.
Right?
But I'm one of them.
But if it is your intention to take it up to whatever level you aspire to, then you need some systems to make that happen, because it's not going to happen without systems.
So it's almost like you need to be a therapist. You could become a systems engineer.
That's right. They also listen to the idea of let's do some procedures and process improvement and job descriptions and that kind of stuff. And in their mind, it's work that hardly anybody wants to do.
Of course.
Possibly me.
Yeah.
And so in their mind, they think, oh, God, that sounds so hard. And it sounds like a paper error. But what they don't realize is that they don't have to do it. They're hiring me to come in. It's an iterative process. I sit with staff members, possibly even with them. And, okay, how do you do your job? What's step one, step two, step three? And you get the first draft. It's not perfect. Then you give it over to them and you say, okay, work with this for a little bit. Figure out, tell me where the holes are, what's missing. Then we'll take another pass, we'll do it a third time, and we've got it. So 2 or 3 months, probably. And what I find is that I have to kind of fit myself in and among their work, because the daily work is king, right? So I try to fit my way into that, and eventually we get it done, and it's just so much better for them.
Well, it's also getting people to understand, and I think this is a big part of it, is what you do is a living document.
Yes, yes.
It's not a one and done. I mean, people sit there and use the analogy of mission and vision statements. People spend all this time and all this effort to create these mission and vision statements. They put it in a binder. They put it up on a shelf.
Right.
And forget about it.
Yes. Excellent, excellent point.
And if you do the same thing with your SOPs, your standard operating procedures, and your policies and procedures, and you just write them all down,
yeah,
put them on a binder and put them on a shelf somewhere, they're worth about as much as the paper they're printed on.
Yeah, they're worth the binder.
They're worth the price of the binder. And hopefully you bought a really, really nice D-ring binder. you know, with a laminated cover and all that kind of thing, with, you know, with a color. If that document is pulled down and evaluated on a regular basis, and people sit there and go, well, wait a second here, that doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, that's not how we do it anymore.
We've changed this, or we're thinking about changing this. What does the policy say? What does the procedure say? And be able to go back to say, okay, this is the historical data. This is where we came from. This is what we did. Is this still relevant anymore? And it could be as simple as how you run a meeting.
Yeah.
If you're looking to bring a new vendor on board, what are the things that are important to you when you bring a new board, or God forbid, onboarding employees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are so many companies that have absolutely no procedure in place on onboarding employees. And guess what? If you don't spend the time, the money, and the effort at the beginning to onboard employees correctly, they're going to leave you.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter whether it's in 6 months, a year, or 2 years, they are going to leave you, because if they are not indoctrinated into the system, if they're not drinking the Kool-Aid, if they don't believe in what you do and why you do it and how they fit in,
right,
they are going to leave you. And that's $100,000 or more walking out the door.
Yeah, easily, easily. And back to that time and money conversation, very good point, because as you well know, so many employers do not understand that dollar value when they've got a staff churn, right? They don't understand that. Oh, well, we'll just limp along and we'll find somebody else and they'll plug them in and it'll be fine. No, you just lost a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And you've opened yourself up to huge amount of risk, because you're not, you don't have the coverage that you need. Yeah. But back to the point, excellent point about the binder, because the hip way of doing procedures now is to use these online platforms that are beginning to pop up. In fact, I'm just starting to affiliate with a young guy in Australia who's created a product called System Hub. It's very good. So what you do is you figure out, you write out your procedures, you get them onto System Hub, and what pops up when employees come to work in the morning, what pops up is a checklist of what they're supposed to do, tick, 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 through the day. And for training purposes, what sits behind that checklist is the full-blown step-by-step procedures, so that if you're ever confused about how or why, you click on a button and up comes the full-blown procedures and you've got it there. Now, when things do change, when they evolve, when they run into a problem that never anticipated in the first place, then they've got a platform that they can go to and say, okay, well, it looks like this is what we have to change. So right online, they change it now.
And then all of a sudden it becomes cascaded through the whole company, right?
Absolutely.
Away.
Everybody knows.
But my question to you is, how flexible are those systems? Because it could become very 1984. If all of a sudden it's, you need to do this and this and this, and if you don't check the boxes properly, we can't go to the next thing. If there doesn't have the ability, flexibility, if there doesn't have the ability for humans to make human decisions.
Yes.
And to enable people to have the power within the systems to make decisions and to help customers and help each other and relate to each other on a human basis.
Yeah.
We've become automatons.
Well, and I think the agile way of doing things these days is to put enough procedure, checklist, whatever it is you want to call it, put enough out there so that the business is being run the way business owner wants it to be run, expects it to be run, but yet allowing enough flexibility, as you say, for the creativity, but the baseline of the business is being run correctly.
So it's a guideline. It's running it almost like a guidelines and say, listen, these are the things that happen to happen. It's the 30th of the month.
Yeah.
These are the things that need to happen before October 31st.
Right. Not every nit and nat.
Yeah.
Because that will drive them crazy.
But it'll tell you, don't forget payroll needs to be done.
Right.
It won't say you need to go through all the payroll procedures, but if you're brand new or you're a temp or whatever, and you need to know the payroll procedures, you click on a button and all those payroll procedures will come up.
Exactly.
And somebody new can be able to jump on it at a moment's notice.
Exactly. Got to have the daily, the weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual, whatever. And so the whole business is there sort of in a box at the level that makes sense to the business.
Right.
That's, I think, key, because I can't go in there and impose upon them Caroline Simmons' version of what their procedures ought to look like. right? It has to work for them.
Well, with that, and I agree with you, every single company's policies and procedures, vision for success, idea of goals, etc., is unique to that corporation. And it comes down to the culture. I mean, there are certain things, there are certain policies and procedures that can be universal, but they all need to be modified somewhat to be able to work for that company. Because what's going to work for a 12-person company may not work for a 1,000-person company.
Correct. Absolutely right. Yeah. It has to make sense to their level, to their culture, as you say, to the way they do business. It has to make the employees happy, right? That they really feel like people need a certain amount of structure.
Yes.
Right? If you think about how we all go through our day, if you really boil it down, you're going to find little bits of structure in there. That's how we operate. We're humans.
Yeah. I mean, people want to feel that they know the direction that they're going. They don't want to feel they're being micromanaged. And that's the system, how a system needs to be thought of, is that, okay, how do we let people know minimally what needs to happen, what we need to get, make sure to get done, because there are flows of every business, but give the people within the business the power to figure out how those things are going to happen on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, as long as they understand what the overreaching goals of the company are and what direction that we're going in. And that's, from what I can do, is where you fit in. That's where your niche is. And it's not just the fact that you say, okay, I can come in and I can look at your company and create a set of policies and procedures for you. But, you know, it's really important that we take a look at it and sit there and say, what do we do for a company? What do we need to do to make sure that a company works effectively, that they're going to be successful? Am I right? Is that what it's all about? It's all about the company's success.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. Now, I've got one last question. Actually, I got two questions for you before I let you go. The first question is, how do people get in touch with you? Because it's important. People need to get in touch with you.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. So a visit to the website, yourprojectplanner.com, real clear. And you can click on a button to have a 15-minute consultation. Let's just see if we can understand what you need to have done and see if we're fit to work together.
Perfect.
And also on that website, I've got videos that you can look at, lots of articles, case studies, and things like that. So you can learn a lot.
No, it's good. I've crawled through your website, and there's some really good information. And I don't care if you're a company of five or a company of 500. There's some really great information there for companies. Now, the last thing I ask, and this is a question I ask everybody as they walk out the door. When you leave a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and your project planner when you're not in the room?
Yeah, I love that question. And I think what I would love them to think is, gee, I really like working with her. And she's passionate about what she does. And it makes me feel like I want to really work on this project too. So it's like, I want them to feel like it's safe to engage with me.
That's awesome. Caroline, you have been an absolutely wonderful guest. Thank you for being there. Thank you for adding some real value to my guests. And thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it, Ben.
This has been the Your Living Brand Live Show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?